faster than a speeding bullet. Batman made a strange discovery. Briefly, they were subjected to sound in the higher frequencies and they fainted. And now, back to the adventures.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to How to Read Comics on the Overthink Network. This is the podcast that answers all those comic book questions your nerd pride is too embarrassed to ask. I'm your co-host, Nick. And with me, as always, is Jason. Hey, how's it going, Jason?
Going pretty good. How about you, Nick?
Oh, you know, same old paper cuts on my thumbs from flipping through all the homework that you've given me.
But not all the homework gives you paper cuts. Some of it gives you eye strain from your computer.
That's right. This week, we're going to tackle the question, digital comics versus physical comics. Right off the bat, I can tell you I'm a little bit more partial to physical comics, but I wanted to see what Jason thought, too. He's been doing this a lot longer than I have, so...
I like comics that are in the medium they were meant to be in. That's my favorite. And that it matters. So let me give you an example of that. In Sandman comic, there's one issue of Sandman where a character falls asleep. And then you go into her dreams. But as you do, you actually have to rotate the comic 90 degrees to read it. And with a physical comic, that's really easy. And if you're reading that online, it's really tough. You got to twist your head or have a PDF that you can rotate pages, and then you rotate back. And it feels really awkward, and you don't get the same kind of tactile sensation. With that, you've got to go physical. You got to have something that does that. But even more, most comics don't care, right? Most comics you can read either direction with some diminishing returns. But there's other comics. We're going to talk a little bit about Failing Sky today. That's a digital comic. They did a print version of it, but you need to read the electronic version. You need to read that.
Yeah.
Because it's meant to be read digitally.
Yeah, and I've got a couple comments on that too, but we'll get to that in a minute. Something also popped in my head was, you know, you've been reading comics a lot longer than I have. Have digital comics always played to the fact that they are read on a screen or read online, or was it mainly just a carbon copy? Well, here you go. These iPad things are real neat. Let's stick a physical comic on. Let's just get the old Xerox out and scan these all in.
Yeah, the first digital comics that I remember were scans. And in fact, the first digital comics I ever saw I made by scanning comics because I wanted to play with them digitally. This is in the 90s when I was in high school. And when you used a scanner that you had to physically use your hand to run over the page and do it at a steady pace because they were so expensive.
Oh.
Yeah, they're kind of amazing. So, yeah, that was my first experience with digital comics was actually digitizing them. There were some early comic strips that were web comics that were, drawings. You could do them in MS Paint. Just think about, like, meme quality stuff. But also at the same time, you've got people just digitizing comics so that they can read comics that they can't get to, either because of expense or because of just access. You know, there's a small print run or something. So it was a huge benefit for people to read obscure comics or comics that cost too much. It'd be difficult to read X-Men number one. Action Comics number one, unless you can get your hands on a reprint. And for a while, those weren't as available as digital comics.
So then what was the big tipping point for digital comics being their own medium?
I think it would be Scott McCloud. We talked about him during our first episode on his book, Understanding Comics. His book, Reinventing Comics, which is the sequel, is where he talks about how comics for the screen – you've got to pay attention to what you can do differently. And the big takeaway is page length. So what is the length of a comic page when you're holding a comic in your hand? It's 11 inches or however many inches it is, right? It's standard.
Right.
What's the length of a page that's a web page?
Infinite.
Yeah. And that's right? Exactly what he does. So I will link to a couple examples that he does where he has these comics that go on and on and on vertically and you read down, 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 down. And it's really fun and cool. I've also had some experience making digital comics. So one of the big questions in kind of surrounding comic studies is the question of the Bayou Tapestry, which we talked about in our history episode. Mm-hmm. And so in my own digital comic, one thing I did was imitate the Bayeux Tapestry to tell the history of comic scholarships. So instead of these ancient medieval warriors, you have different comic scholars talking to each other, and it's presented. But I used the web to do that because I could do this really long tapestry. So you scroll left to right, and you just scroll and scroll and scroll to get this long history rather than flipping pages.
So page length goes out the window, cell size goes out the window, direction goes out the window. What else can, I mean, interactivity, was that something, is that something still being developed? I mean, where are we on the spectrum of digital comics right now?
Well, yeah, interactivity is really still experimental, I'd say. I've experimented with it somewhat in terms of, since I'm doing scholarly comics, I don't want to have lots and lots of words. And so I have it so you can click on it to get more information so that I can do this kind of really streamlined comic thing. And then if you want to get the more academic stuff, you just click on it to get almost like footnotes. There's also been animation involved. All kinds of comics have done that. I think XKCD is probably one of the most interesting ones in terms of interactivity in the webcomic form, in that he does it in really subtle ways. And so, yeah, there's a lot of great weird stuff. The web has so much promise that, you know, there are the web is so versatile, rather, you can – we don't yet know what webcomics can do. The person who's going to make the next great webcomic has not finished it yet. So I'm excited to see what interactivity. Yeah, they're still in middle school, if then. So I want to see what they're going to do. The person who can draw and code.
Cool. Yeah. So maybe we've gotten a little ahead of ourselves diving straight into the world of digital comics. What's your case for physical comics in an age of iPads and smartphones?
I think what we're dealing with here is just kind of general comics, right? Not necessarily a particular comic that has to be read. Like Sam and I was talking about, you know, you want to flip it sideways. If I want to read through Batman, why read it on a screen or why read it with print?
If all things are the same, as far as content goes.
Right.
Yeah. What's your case for physical comics then?
My own case for physical is it's just so easy to go from one issue to the next to just sit down and lose yourself completely in a comic. You get sucked in. And the only kind of transition that you have is when you have to put it down and grab the next one. And that's quick. You can sit there in bed or on a couch or outside or wherever and just read this thing. And it's fantastic. Conversely, the big thing for digital comics, if you just want to sit and read, is you only have to bring one with you. You just bring the iPad or whatever you're reading it on. And you can read and read and read and read. So if you're on a plane or something and you don't want to bring, I read comics quickly. So if I go on a plane, I never bring comics to read, cause I'm going to finish them. It'll be done. And I don't want to have to pack that much, but I read digitally on the plane so that I can read and read and read, and I can read 20 issues while I'm on a flight. It's great.
See, I'm at the stage now where I won't read a single issue, or take it on a plane flight, but I'll grab a trade paperback.
Yeah. Yeah.
And take it on a plane, partly because I want to let my nerd flag fly a little bit on that plane. I want everyone to see that I'm reading Batman. There's a little bit of a pride thing there, but and it's a conversation starter for sure. But yeah, it's a really great point. If you're really flying through these things, then digital comics are the way to go. You know, I've had a little bit of experience doing both. I've said in previous episodes, you know, I'm still only about a year into this comic book reading thing, and I've tried a couple digital comics and I've tried physical comics. For my two cents, I tend to favor the physical comics. It's kind of almost like a tradition to read a physical comic. It's just the way that you do it. I've also found myself reverting in just like reading a book. You know, a good old paperback book with no pictures in it, going back, putting my Kindle away and getting copies of the physical book. One thing that you didn't mention that I find the most compelling about physical comics, now is being able to lend it to a friend.
Oh yeah. Good call.
They haven't figured that out for digital stuff unless it's online already and it's free for anybody to look at. You know, you can't buy a digital comic online and then freely give it to somebody else to read, legally, that is. but with a physical comic, you can read through something and then get somebody hooked on comics by saying, here's Batman 1 through 5 or whatever. go read this. You'll really like it. I mean, that's pretty much how I started reading comics. I got some as gifts, and then I had some recommended to me, and then some traded with me, and then I would trade them away to somebody else and get them excited about comics. So I think it's part of the tradition of reading comics that something comes down to that medium of a physical comic that makes it, it's part of the experience. It's part of reading comics in general. I haven't found a physical comic that can only be represented physically.
Then boy, do I have a comic for you. All right. So maybe you can just narrate what you're seeing.
Okay.
This is for the listeners at home. This is Chris Ware's Building Stories. And so first.
See, I love these surprises. So Jason is holding up a board game.
Yeah. Looks like a board game box.
He has opened it up. The instructions have fallen out. A long comic strip has fallen out.
Yep, there's no instructions, man.
No instructions. It's just different formats. We've got a long, like, comic strippy one, like you'd find in a newspaper, and small notebook sized.
This one straight up has like a Golden Books binding on it.
Gold foil binding on it. Yep.
No, just some normal ones.
And is this the coup de grace?
Like an actual board game.
An actual board.
But it's
an
a comic.
Board game. Is that actually a game?
Nope, like it's a comic.
That? It's just a comic. Okay.
But it's
all of these so far are comics. It's not an act, it's like a board game box setup, but it's not an actual game. It's just a story, a continual story. So tell me about this, the story that's told here.
Yeah.
Or why it's, why maybe why is this? Why?
Yeah, why is this? It's super nonlinear. It features a protagonist. We never, ever get her name in this entire story, which you don't realize for a long time while you're reading it because it's so disorienting. And you, there are no instructions. There is just a list of things that are in it so that you can make sure you didn't miss anything.
Gotcha.
And gotcha. Then you just start wandering around and finding out this story. And the story is really, really beautiful and fascinating. The character goes on dates. The character has various romantic failures and very few successes. It's kind of a depressing comic. And she goes to open a flower store. There's some success, some not. And I had a really interesting experience teaching this comic to students because the students thought that it was depressing. I thought, you know, this is just such a downer, such a low comic. Everything's sad. She wants to be an artist. She wants to be an artist or novelist. She doesn't know what she wants to do, and she wants to tell her life story, but she knows no one will ever listen. And it's always just her complaining and about how she's never doing any work. And there's this one key to the whole thing, this one panel, where she talks about a dream she had where she finds a book in a library. And she pulls it out, and it's not a book. It's a box full of little comics. And they're all the little stories of her life. And she had drawn them all out. And she didn't ever remember doing it. And it's beautiful. And the idea is that this is her book. That the final success that you're looking for, the whole book is sad, right? It's all the sad moments in her life. Where's all the happiness? Well, all the happiness is what you're holding in your hands. It's the thing that she actually wrote. It's when she took a break from all that and actually did something. Which is kind of this cool moment when you realize it. So one other thing I'll say about this. First off, it's very physical, very material.
Yeah.
Got to hold
it. Yeah, there would be no way to replicate that. I mean, there would be no way to replicate that in a standard. Well, I mean, I guess there's just no way to replicate it even in a standard comic book format, let alone a digital format.
There's one chapter missing from what I just showed you, and it's the iPad-only version. There is an iPad chapter. Now, it's not the rest of the book, so it's not translated. It's one section of it is only available on the iPad, and it works in some ways. There's some success and some not. I kind of like it though. You actually have to swipe to get things to happen. It's interactive, and it's him, a traditional comic artist, drawing this digital comic. And so, this is Building Stories is a great kind of test case for what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, that's really cool, especially. Nowadays, you know, there's so many like indie board games out there and that really push the limits between how you play with the things in front of you and how you play with the people that are sitting around with you. And that That's really cool. When did that come? When did that come out?
I think 2014, 2015.
Oh, okay.
Pretty recent.
Yeah, fairly recently.
Another one kind of in a similar vein that I won't spend time showing to you is called Here, and it's by Richard McGuire. And it all takes place, every single page is shot from the same viewpoint of the same exact place. And as you flip pages, it's different moments in time. And then there's insets, so they overlap on each other. And so it's not, you read it the first time kind of left to right, you know, from the front of the book to the back, and you get a story and you get different pieces. But once you get there, you really just have to flip through it and flip here and flip back and flip over here, and you say, oh, so in the room in 1952, this is what was happening. But then in 2012, this is what was happening. And, oh, there's this kind of resonance there that it was both people playing with their babies. But now the baby is an adult and I know what happened to the baby. You know, all those little stories that get told that, again, I think really works only physically.
Yeah, there's something about the flipping the page and being able to go back and forth that you can, you know, you can swipe as fast as you can on your iPad. But sometimes just like holding your hand in a page from, you know, 10 pages back and flipping back and forth is a lot more satisfying, a lot easier to do.
What's interesting with that is the principle, again, I'm going to get nerdy and academic.
No,
it's called
please.
General arthrology. If you think about you talked during our first podcast about the space between two panels, right? Going from one panel to the next, my brain fills out what's in between. That is called by the French theorist of comics, Thierry Grunstein. He calls that restricted arthrology. It's the articulation of an idea across a very small space, right? The idea kind of bends, whether it's, you know, one person attacking another person, somebody telling a joke, whatever it is that's happening between these two panels. So that's restricted.
So like your mind filling in the blanks between picture A and picture B.
Yeah, and it's usually a small blank, and it's in a small space. That's the idea of restricted there. Then general arthrology is when you have to do that across an entire book, right? Across from the beginning to the end, or from page 27 to page 354. Watchmen is a great example of that. Alan Moore uses the symbol of the smiley face, the repetition of that in any individual panel where you see the smiley face, it doesn't matter. But when you put them all together, it creates this larger kind of motif. And then has its own arguments and things like that. As you and any kind of reader of Watchmen, you put it together, you spot all the smiley faces, and each one they kind of resonate with each other. So those kinds of things, the way you'd have to put together building stories, right? From all these different things, how do I get one story out of this? That's general arthrology.
Right. So we know how to read physical comics. Super simple. You pick up a comic book, you flip open the first page and repeat. Just keep flipping till you get to the back. Digital comics, though, may have a bit of a learning curve. And so how do you read digital comics?
Yeah. So in a bit, we'll talk about comics that are meant to be read digitally and web comics and things like that. That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
You get a link, you go to the link, you read them on your phone or on your computer or wherever. But let's get to the complex stuff. Comics that are meant to be read physically, but now you can read them digitally. Easiest way is an app called Comixology. Where you can buy comics through it. You can subscribe to comics. It's great. It's easy. If you don't want to pay money for comics, though, as you might imagine, with any other industry or medium, there are ways to get comics without spending that money. And you may feel a little bit guilty about it. So if you're into torrents and you know your stuff, you do you. I'm not going to judge you. The file formats that you actually read them with are CBR and CBZ, and those stand for comic book RAR and comic book ZIP, respectively. If you want to get into the real nitty-gritty, what they are zipped files or compressed files of JPEGs or images, right? So you take 28 images, number them 1 to 28, and you zip them up, and then that's called that comic that I'm reading .zip. Now you change that extension from .zip to .cbz. And now you can open that in any number of readers for your iPhone, iPad, etc. Probably the most popular reader is called Comic Zeal. It's really good, really effective. I found these really good to get comics that maybe haven't been had print runs in a while. I read all of Marvel Man that way about a decade ago when you couldn't get Marvel Man any other way. And now it's been republished and we can read Marvel Man / Miracle Man / whatever it's called by actually spending money on it. But I figure when people won't take my money, I'm okay with going to the internets to find out what's there.
Right. So then the next step would be you take the upload cable and you put it straight into the back of your head.
Yep.
And then you're uploaded to the matrix, and then you just convert the files right there, right?
Exactly. Yep.
I'm a computer nerd. I appreciate all that stuff, but there is definitely like a wall for me of where, like, if I have to start changing file names, like, just to get the content I want, I'm just like, you know what?
Let me tell you a story. I had all these things backed up, and then I said, let's expand these from my backup, because I compressed them all on my external hard drive. And I said, okay, let's put them onto my regular hard drive now that I got a bigger one, and expand all. And it expanded all of my CBZs and CBRs, deleting the actual file and just having JPEGs. So I had to set up an automator file to recompress and then change the name of any files that I would drag and drop into there and save them somewhere
else. That was a year ago, and it's still processing. Well, yeah, I don't want to cut anybody short. If that's there's a whole world out there, I'm sure you'll be able to find it fairly easily with Google there. You can't read enough comics, and there's so many out there that you can go get lost. Try and find something that you haven't found before or read before. We wanted to make sure that everybody knew how to consume as many comics as possible. So we've explored a couple of physical comics that can only be read in physical form. Let's talk a little bit about Failing Sky. I read a little bit of that, and that kind of feels more like a good bridge between, you know, this could be a physical comic and it would read nice and it would look great on a page, and you could flip from page to page. And it's an ongoing story, but the way that they put it online makes it read completely differently. But it's kind of more of a traditional looking comic book, I guess you could say, or a comic.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. That it's more traditional looking, because the artist is actually not a comic reader and doesn't have a comics background. She's an artist, and she's trained as just, you know, fine arts person, MFA kind of thing. And so I think it is traditional in that it's got layouts and it's got this thing, but it's got such a weird feel to it. It's such an interesting and unique comic in so many ways. What were some of the things that you picked up on that you thought, oh, wow, this is why it's similar to a traditional comic?
It reminds me of a traditional comic mainly because of word bubbles and placement of the people.
Panels.
It's panel-ish. Your screen is your computer screen, is your panel. I actually read it on my iPad, so my iPad, you know, is roughly the size of a comic book. So it just kind of felt like a comic book.
And let me correct your terminology real quick, because I think you're using it a little bit off. The panels are the boxes that have pictures in them, not cells. Cells are for animation.
Okay.
What you're talking about, I think, is the page itself. When you said my panel is my screen. It does have panels, which are those little boxes with drawings in them.
Yeah. Okay. So, it's funny that I say it that way too, because it does kind of blur a bit when it's hard to compare the two.
Oh, totally. Totally agree.
Without knowing the background of the artist, it kind of feels the same just reading it.
Yeah.
It just feels the same. It's hard to quantify, but it just feels the same. But then you get, I don't know, it's like three or four panels into it, and then you start noticing the size of the images, and
that
they don't all completely fit on the screen, and you find yourself, oh, you're scrolling from left to right, and then you scroll back right to left, and it's as far as interactivity goes, this was probably one of the most interactive comics that I've experienced. Very simple. It's scrolling. You're following these panels kind of more in a fluid way. There's a scene where a boat sinks, and one of our main characters is looking around for the other. And the way that you land on the page, you naturally want to scroll right. So you scroll right, and then you get all the way to the right side of the page. And then there's an arrow and says scroll left. You're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even. So you scroll left and you go back to where you started, but then you keep on going. And you kind of start seeing like, oh, it's like I'm looking around. Like you're the person, you're looking, you're scanning the water, looking for somebody going left to right. And at that point, I mean, I think it was about 5 minutes into reading the comic. And then you're like, okay, I'm hooked on this now. Like, this is cool. This is something that you don't get from reading a physical comic book. And this is something different. It's enjoyable to somebody that's read a comic book, but it tells a story a similar way a comic book would, but adding those little touches and using the medium of the internet and having it on a screen was really cool. Yeah. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. That I was going to draw our attention to exactly that panel on that page where you move left to right, then back to right to left. And it feels like you're looking. It's yeah, it such does. A cool totally. Moment. And it happens early on, like you said, to really draw you in. And I think that, you know, you're exactly right to say you thought this was done by a comic artist. When I found out that she had no background in comics and that she doesn't read comics, I was blown away because her comics are so great.
Yeah, I encourage everybody to go look at this. If you only look at one, web comic, look at this one.
Yeah,
I think this was when we talked about this off podcast. I think it was the first thing that you said. Oh, Failing Sky, read that.
Yep.
You sent me the link and it's like that. It's just the definitive. Maybe it's, I mean, there's a huge world of them out there. And I guess hopefully it's been clear too, there is a difference between stuff that scans and reproductions of physical comics into digital, you know, the same exact thing. And this is something that is just solely digital. So it's definitely its own world.
And we haven't even gotten into the idea of the story nodes, which is that there are these various objects, the pruning shears, right? The boots, yeah. The iron, where they show up in different stories. And if you click on them when they first show up, you're jumped to a different story that also has the pruning shears in it, where different characters have the pruning shears. You get their story. And that weaves together slowly this larger story. It's a really effective device done really, really well for its medium. I mean, centered on kind of the digital comic. One last thing about Failing Sky. Did you notice anything about the gender of the characters?
No. Maybe I haven't gotten far enough, but no. You got me second guessing myself now.
Yeah. Most of the characters, if not all, are transgender.
That I wouldn't have guessed that.
You very slowly notice it. I mean, it really comes on slowly and it's interesting. And
I guess I haven't got far enough yet. That is interesting though.
It's a subtle thing. It's by a transgender artist. And it's really, really interesting in that light. One of the things she said was I got the chance to actually talk to her when I was teaching the class. One of the things she said is she wanted to draw a comic with transgender characters where that it wasn't all about their junk and where they weren't being killed off. Because that's the thing, right? You introduce a gay character, he or she then has to have a this really sad death that everyone is moved by. It's like, well, don't just kill gay characters. And somewhat true of transgender characters as well, although in some ways that trope doesn't exist yet because there just aren't enough transgender characters.
Not many examples yet, yeah.
Right, there's just very few.
Yeah, very few. And you definitely don't notice it at all. I mean, if her goal was to present these characters in a neutral spot on a spectrum of character development, is hey, these are transgender characters, but you're not going to be able to tell a difference, audience.
Right.
Guess what? You're not supposed to know the difference. Like that's part of it. You know, they are who they are.
Right.
And it's not up to you to decide that. It's up to them as characters to decide.
Right. And not all of them are, you know, what's called passing. Right. So not all the characters are passing as whatever gender they are hypothetically presenting as. Right. It's very clear, in other words, that somebody is male to female or female to male.
Yeah. That's what I picked up on.
And that can be obvious in certain cases. And so it's not so much about like, you know, and you can't know, you can never know this. It's, no, you know. But what you find out is that turns out they're human beings,
hey.
They're characters. Some of them are jerks. Some of them are nice. Some of them are funny. You know, there's all kinds of things because it turns out they are actual little people. Surprise.
Well, that's great. I mean, it adds a whole other layer to it. I'm going to go back in the first few pages of that comic, there's a relationship that's forming. So, the fact that it's very binary specific,
right?
It's presented as a tale between a girl and a boy falling in love,
yep.
or not falling in love. I'll be interested to see how she folds some of that in into the future. I'm sure you didn't ruin any surprise. I'm sure it's going to be great.
Oh, it's fantastic. And I will say, go read it and go contribute. Go donate. She has a Patreon page. So sign up for that, and maybe we'll get new ones.
Okay, so how far along is that comic as a whole? I haven't got to the end.
Very long. There is no end yet. You'll be able to read for hours and still be okay.
All right, so we have kind of plotted our way through this spectrum of digital versus physical comic books. Hopefully that was insightful to some of you that are a little unclear about what's out there and what's available, what you should be looking at, and maybe where you might go next and what you might try next. Great. So we wanted to give you guys a little bit of a timeline. We're not always going to just talk about Batman. We are also going to feature other superheroes in the future, as well as other authors. And we want to hear from you too. So send in your requests for topics. Send us questions. You can email us at mailbag@howtoreadcomics.com. You can tweet at us at @howtoreadcomics on Twitter. That's the two main ways. That's going to do it for us today on How to Read Comics. Thanks again for listening. We will see you next time. Right, Jay?
Excelsior!